Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Star Chamber show. Tonight marks the 89th episode. We've almost hit our 100 mark. Very exciting. I would also like to wish everybody out there a very happy All Saints Day. Also,
yeah.
Happy Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Yeah, I'm not very good at English, much less Spanish, so I had it pulled up here. Yeah, I'm wearing my Sugar Skull ring for tonight, so that's very cool. And also, you know, since this is the Star Chamber show, right before the show started, there's a little meteor shower that's going to be happening tomorrow night. It's a Turrids. It comes out of the constellation Taurus. I mean, it's nothing really too big. It's only going to be like 5 to 10 per hour. So if you're out there, make a wish. Cool deal. Cool
yeah,
deal.
Star Chamber show sponsored that. You know, being the Star Chamber, you know, we have control over meteors, and so we wanted to bring you all a little bonus after today's show. So yeah, we'll take credit for it.
We spare no expense.
It was very costly. It costed about $40,000 for each meteor that you see. I mean,
yeah. So enjoy. Well, I'm co-host Holly Phillippe. And then we're also joined by co-host Stephen Zimmer over there.
I am here indeed and ready to go for a good show. And tonight, we got a good one.
We're going to be covering... Go ahead, Mr. Jude.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Eric Jude, so it's Colonel Deere, Coolin, the Colonel. Just don't call me late for dinner and we're good.
The man that needs no introduction from the east of the mountains of eastern Kentucky. Yes.
That is true. Well, tonight's episode, we're going to cover all things events. Creatives, of course, have to do events. And that goes from anywhere from book signings to personal appearances to conventions, which we all love indeed, because as you know, as part of the Seven Star Press, we put on the Imaginarium Convention every year. So we are quite fond of the convention scene. And I believe we have some people that we're going to be joining us here in a little bit to talk a little more about that.
Yes, yeah, we're expecting a couple phone calls, in fact, and we'll leave a little suspense and save who it is until later tonight. But I figure we should start into the topic at hand just a bit so we can get the audience a little bit of an overview about tonight's topic, and that, of course, is the world of live events and creatives. So, who wants to take the ball and run with it first?
No, don't look at me.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Jude loves doing showings. Now, don't let him fool you at all. Well, I guess I could take some here. I accompany Stephen to all the book signings and all that, and we put on the Imaginarium Convention, which I help organize. And I did the panel schedules and all that, which panels are a blast at conventions. Not only are they fun, they're informative, and they cover everything. You know, you can learn all kinds of things. You can learn etiquette. You can learn, about publishing. You can learn how to, hone your craft in, marketing, all that. It covers everything.
Yes, and it's definitely a big show to run too, and we definitely
yeah, they're
definitely
no
got...
easy. They're not easy to put on.
Oh no, it's a full scale production, and well, like you imagine, Arium, you know, a lot of conventions are done by, you know, a staff of people, but mostly it's just done by two folks. You know, I do some of the film festival stuff, but yet then again, both of you are engaged in film festival things as well, so it's a big undertaking. I mean, you know, keep in mind, it's almost comparable to like the Apollo program and going to the moon, and that's really no joke. It's just it's a big undertaking.
Well, that gives you a little reference as to what, you know, as much as we are involved in live events as far as running them. Of course, we've all been attending them for a long time. I've been doing, like, film festivals and book fairs and book events and all kinds of live events for years of all sizes and shapes and types. And then Eric has been also doing lots of various live events and film festivals. And then Holly has also done, in addition to the things we've already mentioned, she's done, of course, a lot of arts and crafts events because she makes skin, yeah, you know, organic skin care products, and she's very craft, you know, does very crafty things and a lot of art. And so she's done a lot of art type live events. So the three of us definitely have been around the block more than a few times when it comes to these. And that's where a good place for us to kind of get our discussion started. And that's you know, the creatives, whether, you know, you're a filmmaker or an artist, author, I mean, you tend for the most part, you know, been my observation that most of us are, you know, very introverted. I mean, you've obviously got a few extroverts out there and a few that are, I guess, in the middle, I guess the omniverts, is that the right word? But the introverts are definitely the majority. I mean, no question about it. And live events are very challenging, especially when you're just getting I mean, for somebody who's been doing it a while, it's still challenging who's introverted. But for somebody that's just getting into doing live events, I mean, it's not the easiest of tasks to take on, you know, going into, you know, some massive, you know, book fair where there's, you know, 200 other authors, and or doing, you know, a film festival where, you know, you've got activities and, you know, meet and greets and things going on all weekend. I mean, it's not an easy thing at all. And I know Holly's got a lot of knowledge about introverts and this sort of thing. So you might comment on that just a little bit first as we get into the topic of live events.
Well, I am what they call an introvert magnet. I tend to draw introverts. I'm not sure why, but I do, and I love introverts. They're usually very intelligent people and very creative people. And like he said, majority of creatives are introverts. And seeing them at conventions and being able to go up and actually, you know, start up a conversation and then seeing their eyes light up and they're like, oh yeah, you get it, you know, and it's just a pleasure to be able to do that. And I love it. I love to converse with the introvert crowd and millennials. I love millennials.
You know,
always fun.
I can jump in here and talk, you know, about being an introvert. I consider myself an introvert. Although
yes,
I do sometimes function as a extrovert, but I'm mostly just the type of person that just wants to be going to a dungeon and leave me the hell alone. It's just how I operate.
Well, it's me too. After Imaginarium, I'm like, I don't want to see a person's face for like 2 weeks.
But, you know, and I think Stephen actually wants to get into this, and we'll see later on. If not, I'll jump back into it. But even if you're introverted, you know, there's times when you can't afford to be it because you'll get lost in a fray. And that's, unfortunately,
right,
that's what gets me on my show. And I've had, there's a few experiences I could talk about here a little bit about that, but yeah.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to be yourself. And that's what I try to encourage from the introverts is let your freak flag fly. Be who you are. Do not try to fit in that box, because that's only going to stifle your art. It's only going to stifle your soul, you know, your spiritual growth. You need to be yourself. And if those around you cannot accept you for who you are, you've got the wrong crowd around you. I encourage you to, you know, seek out those, you know, with similar interests and similar personalities, and that you can, you know, be accepted.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will agree with that 100%, and I'll even add, if it gets to the point where you're too afraid to even be yourself, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But go ahead and create a 100% new persona and be that person when you're in public events. You know, you could go back to music of Alice Cooper. He's a great example. That actual guy is a pretty, you know, calm son of a preacher. And the guy on stage is a lot different. He says when he's performing live, it's almost as if he's possessed by a demon. Well, I'm not necessarily saying that you need to be possessed by a demon while you're at book signing.
That's not good.
But it's okay to develop a persona, maybe a pen name. You know, you don't have to have a pen name, but a lot of authors do write pen names, and that's a different persona. So it's okay to, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that actually work in business, and in the business world is kind of, it's very sharky, you know. And they talk about how there's my home face, where I'm me, you can talk to me, I'm down to earth. Then there's my work face, where I have to be just like the sharks in order to be able to survive. So, I mean, it's the same deal when you know, book events. If you can't be yourself, which always be somebody else.
Right. And I think we all have the dual personalities.
There you go.
Have, you know, because you have the way you act at home or with your family or closeness, and then you do have your public persona. You know, when I'm out and about, like when we're doing conventions and stuff, I'm the loud me, and that's what they call me, Hollerin' Holly, and I'm all around, and woohoo, you know, here I am. But at home, you know, I'm working, and I'm a little bit more quiet, you know. Stephen might not agree, but I think I am.
Not quiet. I wouldn't define it as quiet. But I know that, yeah, when Eric brings the inner kernel out, it's quite something to behold. So,
well, that is completely dependent on how much alcohol that I'm drinking.
Yeah, that's with most people. You get a little braver when you got the bourbon, you know, flowing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that could be a show topic in itself. Yeah, definitely, definitely. But we're not encouraging all the new artists out there to drink before they begin their live events.
No, not
probably a good idea.
No, I totally agree. Always drink in moderation and never drink and drive and be safe and healthy. Yeah. And I cannot confirm or deny that I've been concluding with Russians tonight, so...
Oh, he's drinking vodka. Oh dear. But it is a little nerve wracking. I mean, you know, and then you go into the other thing that you go into live events with is expectations. And I think that's something that, you know, sets the tone for whether you're gonna have a good day or not. Because, you know, we're gonna laugh about this a little bit, but Eric and Holly and I have always observed at book events, in particular, you know, how, you know, about, you know, a couple hours into it, you'll get a couple of really pouty looking people that just fold up and stop out of there because they didn't have, you know, line around the block, you know, waiting to, you know, get their book, and, you know, they get frustrated and leave real quick. But then by mid-afternoon, you know, if it's place in fact, you know, you get this just morose look on the face. I mean, you could look down an aisle filled with authors.
Yeah, we
and
call
on
it
both
the
sides,
author remote.
You just see the most grim expressions.
Look.
The most grim expressions down both sides. And people are usually looking at us like crazy because we may not be selling anything, but we're just laughing our heads off and having a good time. But I think
we're networking, we're having fun.
Yeah,
you know.
We're having fun. You know, we're people are like, oh, God, you know, we're not selling a lot of books. Why are you so happy, you know? And it's like, you know, the thing I like to say is like, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, expectations and going into it and being able to adapt to, you know, any.
Right.
Yeah, I don't go into things with a preconceived expectation, first of all. And then second of all, I mean, you know, if the show is not going well sales-wise, I try to find other things to really benefit, you know, make my day worthwhile. And that's as simple as catching up with my peers. It's you know, talking to the readers that do come out. It's as simple as networking. It's as simple as, I mean, you can get a lot out of an event even if you're not selling a lot of books. And I think that that's a mistake a lot of authors and every type of artist makes, is they go in, you know, thinking of, oh, if I don't sell, like, sell 100 things in the first 2 hours, you know, a day is a failure. And I think that's expectations is a big problem, I think, with a lot of approaches to these. Guys, you want to comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, I totally agree. Last weekend when Tony called in, oh, I'm sorry, when Rupert called in, Tony agreed, Rupert.
yeah, Rupert was there.
One of the questions it was is, what's a mistake you made as an author early in your career? And I didn't get a chance to answer. Well, he didn't ask me that question. But I would have answered. I'll answer that question tonight. It perfectly fits in. It's the feeling that you're going to succeed just because you are. No. You're not going to succeed.
Don't work
just
that way.
Just because you show up doesn't mean you're going to succeed. Just because you write a book does not mean you're going to succeed. That's when the work just begins. Now, when it comes to these author's events, I've done a couple, and I mean, I did one that actually did disappoint me, and you know, I guess because I just let my guard down and allow it to disappoint me. But for the most part, one thing you got to keep in mind, and every event that I've been to, just on my own, it's the same deal. You get about midday, people just start looking like they want to find a rafter to hang themselves from. It's a very sad look. You can't do that because...
No.
There's a trick. I learned... See, years ago, I used to yard sales. I used to buy a bunch of junk and used to sell a bunch of junk on the side of the road. And we'd set up and there would be maybe 10 or 15 other people selling junk. That's what it was. It was good stuff. I didn't sell actually junk that you couldn't use, but it was just the general word junk.
This and that.
Yeah. And I never sat down. I kept moving. I walked. When someone walked up, I talked to them. How are you doing today? It's a nice day out here. Or it's a day's weather. It's bad, isn't it? We would talk, and some people would kind of shun me off, but some people would actually talk to me. And then they'd go on about, they'd go down to the next vendor, and the next vendor would sit there on their phone or stared at the gravel on the ground and ignored them. And they went down, and the next person wasn't friendly at all. And finally, they came back to me and said, man, you're the only one here for personality. I'm going to buy something from you.
Right, exactly.
So that's very important. Even at author events, I've seen some events where the author's really looks so horrible. And about that time, I try to go talk to my fellow authors and try to laugh them up. But they still...
You have to engage your customers and people that are there. You can't just sit there like a bump on a log and have your stuff out in front of you and expect it to sell itself. Like you said, that's not going to happen. You have to be a bubbly person. You have to, you know, shove your introvert aside, put on that, you know, different hat and say, hey, how are you today? You know, hey, do you like to read horror or do you like, you know, art? Do you like, you know, blah, 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 and engage them and bring them in?
Precisely. Right here, Pat, that is exactly what you have to do. You know, if you're sitting there all depressed because you're not making a sale, then you're actually going to run people off because they may think that you're just being grumpy. They may not know, you know, that you've had a slow day. And that's the point. You want to actually treat every customer as if you've had such a busy day and you're going through your third box of supplies for books, whatnot.
Right. Right. And, Stephen, I think we may have a caller here that might be able to help elaborate on that.
All right. Well, bring in our caller.
Well, here we go.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the Star Chamber.
Hello,
show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. You want to introduce yourself, caller?
Well, this is Daniel Dark, the author of
Daniel
My
Dark. Tale. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Daniel Dark. Daniel Dark is one of the newest authors from Seven Star Press with his newer release, Knife Tale. And Daniel had quite a little signing over the weekend, so we hear. You want to tell us about that?
Well, I went to Barnes & Noble for a individual book signing and wound up having, according to the Barnes & Noble I was at, one of the largest number of books sold by any single author coming there.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
Very nice.
And how did...
Really, it had to do with, like you're talking about, engaging with the people that were there.
Yes.
Because a week prior to that, I had just had surgery, and I did not have time to, recovering from the surgery, I did not have time to advertise or anything else the way I wanted to for that book signing. So.
Right.
So that's
and
pretty
Daniel is quite a character in himself. Daniel does have a way about him that he does engage with everyone. He is fairly friendly, and yeah, you want to tell us a little bit how you talk to people and how you get them actually to approach your table?
Well, just speaking to somebody as they walk by, mm-hmm. Just actually, acknowledging the fact that they're there. Most people will walk by and you know, if they look at your table and they look at your books and, your book may not look like something that they would read, but you think, like, half the time I just ask, what type of book do you like to read? And
right.
If they go to tell me and everything, say, that's great, have you ever thought about reading something like this? And hand them the book.
You actually put
so
it in their
they
hand.
Have a chance, so that they have a chance to actually look at the book more than just, looking at it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
once they get it in their hand, they're like, huh, okay, And some people won't accept the book or anything, but most of the time they will. Show them something, whatever you're selling, show it to them. Let them touch it. Let them feel it. Let them open up the pages and read it if it's a book, Get them a little bit enticed about it. And like some of the books that I sold, it wasn't for the person that bought it. It was for somebody else that they knew would like it after they sat there and they found out what it was about.
Right. Right. And that's all from engaging, because like you said, if you wouldn't actually put the book in their hand or talking to them about it, they're just going to walk on by, which Eric and Steven know all about this. They know, you have to engage.
That's pretty cool. Actually, that's a tactic that I have to start using because I haven't been actually putting the book in their hand. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Well,
Steven?
One thing about having something physical in their hand, they've got to say no.
True.
You put it into their ballpark to say no to you about your product. And a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't want to say no to you.
Right. It's a confrontation thing. They don't want to do that. And then also it's something about holding something physical. It's easy, like you said, it's easy just to walk by a table. That when you actually stop them and engage them and put something physical in their hand, that changes the whole ball game. That is a brilliant strategy.
And, you don't have to ask them for the sale. They will ask
right.
you for the sale at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, when you suddenly go, every now and then you say, is this something that, you might have to go down to saying, is this something that you think that you'd like? Or do you know somebody that would like this? But more than likely, the actual person will sit there and say, where can I buy this? Or, are you selling these here? Or, whatever. because of the fact that they are wanting to know more about how they can get their hands on their own copy of it, and especially when it's signed by the author.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too. When you can actually, that's the whole thing about doing events, is getting out there and showing your face to the public and actually signing things. And the public seems, you know, they love that. Fans, they love that. They like to be able to talk to their author or their artist, you know, that they've picked up some work on Amazon or wherever. But actually to meet, you know, the creatives that made that, that's fantastic.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Go ahead.
Well, it's like the Colonel was saying earlier about the persona and stuff. People think that I have a persona. I am me every day.
Yes, you are.
It's not really a persona that I'm sitting there, you know, projecting out that's not me.
Right.
And that is one thing about it, like you were talking about earlier. If you are sitting there and you're trying to make yourself something that you are not, you know, if you can play a game at it and it's just for the events and stuff like that, if you're a total introvert, one of my good friends is a total introvert, and she, you know, if you met her out at one of the events, you would think that she is the most extroverted person out there, but she's a total introvert.
Right.
And, you know, she actually has to go to her room and rest in between because of the fact that, you know, she's spent so much energy being something that she's not for a while, being that extrovert that she's not normally. You know, I don't care. You know, I can talk to people or not talk to people. It doesn't, you know, doesn't matter to me, but I enjoy talking to people, actually.
Yeah.
But
I will say,
you know,
the one thing you've hinted at, though, is that, you know, when you are at a live event, though, it is exhausting. And it's something that I know that, you know, a lot of authors are listening right now. I know I saw that Carol Preflatish is in the chat room and some other creatives, Jason Young and David Sheridan. I know they can probably relate. But when you're at an event, you have to be on all the time. You are on. And there's not really a time to shut off that, you know, kind of like that awareness until, you know, until the event is over. And even on a kind of like a subtle level, I mean, it does take a lot out of you for a full day. And so even if you are, you know, in your normal mode as a persona, you know, your persona or whatever, it is a bit taxing. It definitely is taxing.
It can be very taxing.
I get tired. Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, I get tired
and
have to take breaks. But
like the events that y'all do, you know, Imaginarium, where you're on for, you know, 24/7 for, you know, 4 days. You know, it gets a little tiring after 4 days.
Yes, yes, it does indeed.
Yeah,
really,
there are some that
have...
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought it really did help that we had a chance to talk with some good friends in the courtyard and drink some good drinks, Mr. Dark.
That helps. That helps. After hours at a convention, if y'all haven't been to a convention, you need to go. Come to Imaginarium, but you definitely need to come there. But go to a convention, and after hours, we do have a blast. We do have fun, and you'll see, you know, everybody, the creatives, as themselves, you know, winding down.
Well, we even do that.
Some wind down a little bit more than others, though.
But we even do that after single-day events. You know, we always typically gather a group together and go out to eat, and you know, usually if it's an event we go to annually, we find our spot where we, like whether it's the Authors Fair and now in LaGrange, you know, we've got a barbecue place that we really like to gather. If it's a Louisville event, of course, the Troll Pub under the bridge, which is a must attend for anybody. And but we, typically, there's always a social aspect because you're finally among your tribe. You know, it's finally among your group. So, and that's a really cool aspect about live events that, you know, I don't think enough authors, I think, take advantage of. It's that chance to kind of be among your kind and kind of recharge the batteries. And I come out of a lot of those kind of events, you know, feeling a lot, you know, juiced up about everything, creative, in a creative sense. So it's
yeah,
a good,
Stephen,
well, good thing to do.
Stephen doesn't tend to stay in the view of people either. You know, Stephen has to go into his, you know, corners and diffuse too. So you won't always see Stephen front and center, you know.
Well, if I'm running an event, I got to take my time to actually focus on details.
Well, I'm out and about, and I'm, woo, you know, yeah. I'm everywhere. But that's why we're a team. I'm out and about, you know, and he's back here doing the good computer stuff.
Computer stuff, yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
the life of the organizer, yes.
Yeah, well, somebody has to do it. And it ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
Lord, we were on a computer for most of this year, I think. We're still, yeah, that's where we spend most of our days. But
one thing Daniel does really well is presentation, and I think that's another topic aspect that we could get into, and that's, I call it a professional presentation, but, you know, it can be any kind of thing, like creative. I mean, like Lydia Shear plays her musical instrument when she's, you know, mm-hmm. at her booth and attracts a lot of attention. You got people like Robert Turk that have a full get-up when he's that goblin character. And they were talking like prosthetic makeup, full costume, full character. And, you know,
that,
I mean,
yeah.
I've watched him, and he's just phenomenal when he's selling books. And then you've got others, you know, I mean, like Carol, who's in the chat room, you know, who has, you know, very professional banners behind her and, you know, very, you know, mm-hmm. very nice, you know, clean table set up. So you have lots of different styles of presentation, but but Daniel's really good at that for the kind of books that he
yes.
does. And I'd like him to maybe comment a little bit about how he, you know, approaches his presentation at an event.
Even talk about, you know, riding your bike around your Victorian bike.
Mm-hmm. Victorian bike. Well, I like that.
What's easier for people to picture?
I do have my penny fathering that I've been riding for about 10 years. And being a Victorian chef prior to the fact, you know, does not hurt on being able to know more about the era and knowing, having history behind me on knowing what, you know, was real back in those days over, you know, some of the fictitious stuff that you see on TV and movies. And, you know, really it's just part of my life, the way that I live and stuff like that. You know, I still make my ketchup and everything that is designed straight from, you know, recipes from the 1800s. And, you know, when I dress and everything, when you look in my closet, a lot of people sort of equate it to like Charlie Brown's closet, where he had the exact same shirts, same pants and everything. I have black French cuff shirts, black pants, black vests, black coats. Very easy when I get up in the morning to get dressed. One decision that I don't have to make. But people see me in my top hat and my black every day. That is how they're used to seeing me. You know, that will not work for
right.
everybody, but it's just something that's very, very casual for me. You know, most people would be very uncomfortable walking around in a tailcoat, you know, just to go into McDonald's. I could care less. You know, the people that are, people, you know,
it's fun going places with Daniel.
Well, one of the reasons why I laugh, well, I'll get into that. I'll let him talk. Sorry.
Oh, no, I just said it's fun going into places with Daniel because,
oh, yeah.
you know, here he looks like he stepped right out of my favorite era of all things is Victorian London. And it's just Daniel. That's him every day. That's just who he is. And, you know, I don't think nothing of it because, you know, he's my friend. And, And you go in somewhere with him, though, you catch people looking, and it's hilarious because they're like, what in the world, you know? What's he do?
Here on the Star Chamber show, I have a sudden inspiration. Eric Jude, you need to film this someday with Daniel Dark, a parody of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. Dark's Neighborhood, where he opens up the closet, you know, where he's just got nothing but the top hats and dark garb.
And
just like the sweaters.
And, yeah.
Just like the sweaters of Mr. Rogers. Welcome to Mr. Dark.
We hide the blood. We don't put the blood out and everything because that is too condemning to most people. You know, they can do charges on those type of things.
Oh, man. Yeah,
we have
that
another
down,
caller,
great parody.
Guys.
We do.
Oh, we have another caller, and I believe he can elaborate on a few things too.
It is.
Giving
tell
the
us who
fanfare.
It is, Holly.
Sarah, did you hear the fanfare? This is Mr. John Pica, Big Daddy Cool himself, John Adela Rosa.
Hey there, guys and gals, hep cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. We're laying down a smoking groove so cool it'll make you flip your lid. Can you dig that?
We can dig it, John.
I knew that you could. How you guys doing tonight?
We can dig it, Daddy.
Well, we are. We're doing.
John was one of the
sure
men.
I'm not sure how to take that.
John was one of the people that actually made my book signing fabulous. He came
cool.
out to
his
Saturday.
Yeah,
awesome. I did come out, but you know, I was very careful, Daniel. I was very intentional in that I wore clothing that would not upstage you.
Hey.
Because you know,
I am not to be upstaged.
I don't know that purple crocodile coat kind of, you know.
Hey, that's pretty sexy. I ain't gonna lie.
it's got sexy all over it, Johnny. I know it does, man.
But no, you know that was your day, not my day. So you know, I dress way down. And for those listening, you know, I'm one of those guys too. You know, I don't wear the zoot suit and the crocodile coats every day, but I do wear a shirt and tie every day and either a fedora or a flat cap that accentuates my character. But Saturday for his book signing, I was in, this is going to shock you guys. I was wearing windsuit pants and a sweatshirt.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Whoa.
I can't even picture it.
Well, it's what I wear. It's what I wear around the house when, you know, I'm just watching TV or working around the house. And Saturday,
right.
I was packing and moving things into storage. So that was my deal there. So I went straight from the storage unit out to see Daniel.
That's awesome.
And I appreciated it, man.
Cool. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, we got to support each other,
Victorian
you know.
Age meets Diesel Punk. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, and if you all don't know what John does, elaborate us, Mr. Cool, what all you do.
Well, so I am a multidiscipline variety entertainer, which is a fancy word for saying I do a little bit of everything. I sing, I dance, I do magic, I create larger than life, unforgettable characters who do amazing and impossible things. And you know, I have a lot of ancillary tie-ins to that. Big Daddy Cool is larger than life. And his world, populated by superpowered showgirls, vampire Nazis, time traveling gangsters, it is a pretty big world. So we've spun it off into ancillary products and projects. I've got my book, Tales from the Flip
Yep.
Side, volume
Right.
Volume 2, hopefully coming soon, from Pro Se Press. It's The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. And
shout out Tommy Hancock there. Good man. Yes.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And when I tell people the story about how that book came about, the other writers hate me. They get pissed. But but we got the book series. We got a video series on YouTube, also called Tales from the Flip Side, that is kind of like, you know, bonus material for my fans and readers. So I do game reviews. I do, you know, magic performances. You know, sometimes I do workshops, teach-ins, that kind of thing. And, you know, that's all, you know, kind of bonus, added bonus material. And then I have my own podcast, two of them, actually. The Diesel Punk Podcast, which is co-hosted by Larry Amiet and Eric Fisk. And then my own solo podcast, aptly called Tales from the Flip Side. And Tales from the Flip Side, the podcast, is distributed on the Diesel Punk Podcast Network. So, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of, you know, hands in the pie. But, you know, I kind of look at it as, you know, I'm an entertainer and a storyteller. And I just choose different media to tell different stories at different times. You know, my primary focus is the live stage. So, you know, I'm performing at theaters and dinner theaters and conventions. Throughout the year.
Imaginarium.
His shows are so good. He got me into a conga line this year. Good God, I've never done that before.
Yes, he did. Stephen was on the dance floor.
Good. His shows are that good.
Yeah, it was a fun time this year, and you know, I do probably, I'm going to say maybe 10 to 12 conventions a year around the Southeast. I would love to do more, but right now it's about 10 or 12 a year, and the rest of the time I'm performing in theaters around the country, and sometimes Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens are doing both. So, like, this year at another con in Athens, Ohio, we had our show in a theater that was in the same town as the convention. And so we marketed it through the convention, but it was a, you know, an extra ticketed event that anybody could come to, but it wasn't necessarily tied to the convention. But because, you know, I was a guest at the con, it was a natural cross promotion kind of thing. So,
very cool.
You know, you'll see me
cool.
performing at a convention like at Imaginarium. We did our Friday night cabaret show, or, you know, you might see me doing a solo performance or workshop or hosting a cosplay contest. I do that a lot. And
you did ours. You took care of our cosplay contest at Imaginarium this year, and wonderful.
Well, thank you. And for, you know, what I tell conventions is that I bring value added programming. I'm the value added guest because you know I bring entertainment, I bring professional MC services. And I bring tested, proven, planned panels and workshops.
Yes.
and, you know, people listening, if they've not done or been part of panels or workshops at conventions, sometimes they can be a little bit, can I say this politely, haphazard or improvised. And I offer several workshops and panels that, you know, they're thought out, they're scripted, they're tried and true. I've done them, you know, for years and years and years. So
I attended your Diesel Punk one. I was at it, at Imaginarium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a
good
interesting
one.
Interesting panel because, you know, this year, this past year, I've for everyone listening, a little bit of inside baseball. I've struggled with a foot injury, and
right.
And Holly's holistic hollering staff.
Holly's holistic helpers.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's you know, it scared me though, Holly. It scared me because I started using it, and, mm-hmm. and you know, there was this big giant callus and this scab on the wound,
mm-hmm.
and I started using the holistic helper, the skin savvy. I've got it in front of me right now, the organic salve. And,
yeah.
and the scab, the scar fell off. And it scared me.
It's promoting healing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean there's been like this consistent scab there for a year. And
mm-hmm.
you know, this like started healing it up. It is amazing.
That's fantastic, John. I told you I should just use it twice a day, and I have all faith in it. I totally back my products, and thank you, John, for that testimonial too. But yeah, it's natural. You know, it's God made. It's all essential oils and organic, and that's what we need to be putting in our bodies. You know, not chemicals.
Right. But you know, at Imaginarium, I was trying to take it a little bit easy because, you know, the Friday night show, the Saturday night cosplay contest, I get a little bit rambunctious. And rest of the time, the rest of the panels and workshops, I tried to take it a little bit easier, stay up off this injury. And so the Dieselpunk 101 was really more informative. Normally, that's a performance panel. Where I do some of the stuff from the cabaret show, but you know, trying to heal up a little bit, and I decided to err on the part of healing.
Well, and I told John before he come, I said when we were planning Imaginarium, I said I'm going to be watching you. You are not going to stay on that foot 24/7. I'm going to watch you, and he says, I promise, I'll ride my little scooter.
He had the scooter.
Well, and you know, literally staying off my feet is the hardest thing in the world for me to do.
Oh yeah, because you're very busy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, even at the booth, you know, well, that's the other thing I do. You know, when I'm at a con booth, I'm performing in the booth. I'm doing magic for people coming by, and I've got a sponsor.
To draw them in.
Subscription box. Yeah, I to draw them in. We, you know, it all ties into the book, Tales from the Flip Side. I've got my own magic books that I've written as, you know, again, ancillary products. And, but, you know, not being able to stand and perform all day was a challenge. It was a challenge.
Right. Yeah, because I have found that too. If you're behind your booth, no matter what you're selling, whether it's books or art or whatever, you're behind your booth. You know, if you're sitting and not making eye contact, or, you know, people are going to just walk by. They're not going to stop and say, oh, what are you selling? You know, standing up and actually being eye to eye with people, it makes a big difference too than, you know, just sitting there. David Sheridan in the chat room, he was talking about that a while ago, how, you know, he's noticed that cons, that people will be sitting behind their booth and have their head down and not even look at you when you go by. Well, you're not going to stop. I mean, you got to think for yourself. Would you stop at a booth if somebody was sitting there and didn't make eye contact? No, you're not going to. You're going to walk on by, you know.
Right.
You've got to engage people.
Yeah, and, you know, I was a trade show director for a Nashville record label for golly, maybe 7 years. And, you know, I trained all the trade show salespeople and came up with the themes and the gimmicks and whatnot. And I, you know, I translate that into the book sales. Now, I don't know how other art authors did at Imaginarium, but I left having made more money at Imaginarium this year than any other con of the year.
Wow.
And,
Very cool.
You know, I didn't sell out, but man, I sold a lot of product. And And I wasn't even in the booth half the time. I taught my guys how to do some of the basic magic stuff, and I taught them the elevator pitch and, you know, how to draw them in and talk with them. And the other thing I do, and you guys talked about Daniel and his presentation in the booth. It's awesome. Yes. But one thing I do, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but the backdrop that we use on the Friday Night Cabaret got moved to my vendor booth. So when people are walking by, they're seeing the same set they saw on stage the night before.
That's all about branding.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, but his microphone got moved to the hotel the hotel sound equipment stock.
Yeah, and I had to go on a big old search.
To go to Warpath
and I found it, though. I finally found it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
That was
an epic story beneath the story thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing I've ever had happen.
Oh,
but,
that was bizarre. Yeah.
But he came home, and everybody's happy.
Oh, yes. We did good. We found somebody's Nikon camera. We found your microphone. I mean, a lot of people found another guy's backpack loaded with his I don't know what. I didn't even know what's in it, but evidently it was important. So we were able to come through for a few people at least.
Yeah.
We don't sell what we find on eBay, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
But,
I want to say a quick hello to Kenzie Michaels and Timothy Shackelford. They've now joined us in the chat room.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Hey, Kenzie, Timothy.
How you doing, folks?
Great author.
Hey, guys.
And a great artist. Yes. Wow. Yeah, we've got some creatives coming in the house here. All right.
And then we need to touch on, like John was touching on, too, about we're talking about engaging your audience. Table setup. He was talking about how you use the backdrop and branding. Daniel, why don't you explain a little bit how you set up your table?
Well, first thing, I had my bike sitting right behind me next to the wall and everything. You got an 1800s bicycle sitting there, penny fathering. And then considering I'm writing about Jack the Ripper and stuff like that, I put a doctor's bag out there with a few skulls, different things like that. Few of my old books and, from the 1800s that I've got, and, set up the table and everything where the books are sitting up, not just laying flat on the table where people can see what the book is.
Right.
That's one thing that kills me when I go out to these different events and, have a bunch of authors there and everything, and their books are just laying flat on the table. You have to walk over to the table and look down at the book to see whether, it's even anything in your genre that you normally like to read or even, are concerned about.
Right.
Also by having them set up, like I was talking about earlier, being able to pick that book up real quick and just hand it out to the person, like John's, talking about, he does with his magic and everything. He's right there in the person's face with it. So that they understand what he's doing, that he's a magician and everything. They may not know what the trick is that he's doing, but they understand it's magic and they understand that he's good at it. And they could be good at it if, they gave him a chance with the magic box, and that's the thing about like with the books and everything. If I've got a book that I can just reach over there and grab hold of the edge of and just hand it to the person, then at that point in time, there's no effort on my part, really.
Right.
And the person has taken the book and they're starting to flip through it, or they flipped it over to the backside and they start reading some of it, and they've got a chance to do something with it. And make your table to where it's, representative of what you do.
Right.
John's is great about, his diesel punk and the magic and everything. It represents what he does at every event that I've gone to with him and everything. Mine, it represents what I do. I got an old butcher knife and everything and dulled it down to where it is duller than a butter knife so that I can lay it out on the table.
But it looks like the Ripper knife,
So I can lay it out on the table and nobody can get hurt on it. Like, you know, be sure that whatever you got there. Do what?
Is that an old hickory knife?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those. I use one of those every day of my life. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was an old hickory knife that I went out to a yard sale. Speaking of the devil, and bought it at a yard sale for, you know, just a couple of bucks, because, you know, the guy had some old ones sitting there and everything. It was all rusted up and everything like that. I had to sit there and polish up the blade and stuff like that to where it would look good. But make sure that your table, when you're out there, it represents you. It represents that you represent the table and that you represent the product that you're trying to sell. Because
right.
All that is combined. If something doesn't fall into place in that, then you need to change it somehow. And it doesn't take any money, really, to do that.
No, it's just a few little trinkets here and there you could pick up at a, you know, what is everything's a dollar store or whatever, you know, or stuff you got laying around the house.
You know, look on Amazon and stuff like that, you know, like the skull, you know, candy dish that I had there and everything. It was like $10 on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it's a very nice looking, you know, skull, you know, candy dish.
Right.
You know, but
one of the things I do.
Oh, go ahead.
One of the things I do normally do, and I didn't do it at Imaginarium, but I normally have my authentic, non-functional Tommy gun sitting on the table, like Daniel's knife. And people
mm-hmm.
come by and they see that they want to hold it. Now, I did not bring it to Imaginarium because it was the weekend after the Las Vegas shooting, and I thought it might be a little bit insensitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that Tommy
gun,
man, draws people in like flies.
Oh yeah.
And people want to have their picture taken with it and with you and mm-hmm. and stuff like that at the time.
Yep.
Yep,
and then they
right.
feel personal, you know, they feel like, you know, a little rapport with you, and they'll buy your product, you know, your book.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. What I do is, me and Steven, I either set up my Kindle or we set up his laptop, and we play our Raiden Valkyrie trailer, because, you know, in case most people know, but we filmed a TV pilot this summer based on a character from Steven's book, Heart of a Lion and Thunder Horizon, Raiden Valkyrie. And we'll have that playing. We'll turn down the volume a little bit. But that draws people. They're like, what is that? You know, and then they'll be watching it, and then we're like, hey, you know, this is Raiden Valkyrie. She's the, mm-hmm. the lead character from this book. This, you know, and then I'm like, Steven, you want to tell them more about it? And, you know, that's how, you know, I'll rope them in, and then Steven talks to them, and then they get you get a rapport going.
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation starter. Yeah, when you have something that's a little out of the ordinary and eye-catching that, you know, gets what, you know, Daniel is getting at, you know, when you engage and talk to the people, you know, that's when it really, really kicks in. And that's, for us, I mean, having the trailer, I mean, does work very well as far as a segue into the books. That definitely is a good connector.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a panel about this, and I was the moderator of it at Imaginarium, of all places, about marketing yourself past oversaturation. And,
right.
mm-hmm. it is, you know, in the self-publishing world, it is a very saturated market. You know, technology has made it easier than ever for someone to be a published author. Whether through a publisher or self-publishing, but you know, small press has become big business, and when you're at a con, especially a convention like you know, Imaginarium or like some of the others that I attend that are really heavily focused on literature and speculative fiction, you've got a room full of 200 authors. All competing for the same dollar. And
Right.
While there's a community and you want to build each other up and help cross-promote each other, at the end of the day, you've got your own revenue that you have to generate. So how do you stand out above the crowd and market, you know, above the crowd? And, you know, we've talked about two of those things already since I've been on. You guys may have talked about more before I got on. But, you know, creating a character like Daniel Dark does, like Big Daddy Cool does, and then engaging people. And a lot of authors hear me talk about engaging people and how to do it, how to, you know, I've got it easy because I'm shuffling cards, I'm springing cards from one hand to the other. I've got a big Tommy gun on the table, and people instantly stop and go, what is happening right here? And I can engage them pretty quickly. But, you know, I see so many authors, and you guys can relate to this, who you talked about them being head down. It's not that they don't want to engage people or sell product. It's that, one, either they don't know how to, or they haven't realized that they have to. We are all salespeople. And,
right.
And I said this in the panel, and a lot of authors bristled. I saw them bristle at this when I said, listen, you've got to sell your book. You've got
and
to
And yourself. You're selling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. You sell
totally.
Yourself first. People buy
you are
your product
brand,
based
yeah.
on you.
Yes.
And they bristled, and I said, well, listen, guys. You guys are salespeople every single day. Whether you're
mm-hmm.
selling yourself or your book or an idea or going out on a job interview, trying to get a date, everything you do in life is a negotiation of some sort. And what is negotiations or what is sales? Sales is just a negotiation. And, you know, when I made that point, you know, there were authors there that, quite frankly, they won't be around next year.
Right.
Because I saw them physically say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they didn't say it with their voice, but their body language said, no, I'm not teachable. I'm not coachable. That's not for me. And they won't be around this time next year, which is a shame. But the people who realize that, you know, whether you're an author, an artist, a performer, broadcaster, producer, director, you know, an artist, whatever it is you do, you are selling something. And it should
right.
be selling you first, selling your persona, selling your personality. People do business with people that they like or have a connection with. But at the end
and
of
that's
the
one
day,
thing for
you,
sure. You,
yeah.
This is a business.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it's they call it show business, not show give it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
And so, you know, those people who are listening now, if you guys will just realize that every day of your lives you are a salesperson. You just got to decide what you're going to be a salesperson of and commit to it. And the best way to do that is to engage that audience and
mm-hmm.
engage them with a, you know, and it doesn't take a lot of work, right? It's a smile and a hello and a question. If you ask
right.
someone a question, they will stop. And there's a couple of different ways to do that. I say, because I see it in their eyes. When they see that Tommy gun and they see the cards spring from hand to hand, I say, hey, how you doing? Can I show you something amazing?
Ah.
What, you know?
Very cool.
Ah.
Yeah, there's another author out of northern Tennessee, and I had wished he came to Imaginarium. I told him about it, but he wasn't able to make it. His name is David Stevenson. I don't know if you guys have run into him yet.
Get a hold of him. I don't know him. Do you, Steven?
No, not yet. Not yet.
He's
I'll have
got
to reach
this,
out.
this Yeah, he's got this great book, but more than that, he has this great marketing acumen. And what he does, and Daniel kind of alluded to it, is he's holding his book in his hand. He's got a copy in each hand. And as people walk by, he makes eye contact with them. He smiles, and he says, "Do you like to read?" Now, at a literary convention,
I do that.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody should say yes. And do you like to read? Well, yes. Let me tell you about a book. And he hands them the book. And he does a 30-second synopsis of the story. And I heard him do it over and over and over because we were side by side at a con. And
nice.
I got, you know, I heard it so much I could recite it, and likewise he could recite my elevator pitch. But as he's telling them the story, he's asking them questions. You know, he talks about this it's a post-apocalyptic yet colonial type of society where this boy is out hunting and he shoots a deer, and the deer runs outside the border of the colony into the Badlands, and the Badlands is forbidden, but he shot the deer and it runs out of the boundary. Well, what does the boy do?
Goes after
the
deer.
He asks that question. Yes.
Yep.
His customer answers the question just like you did.
Right.
And he's like, that's right. And when he's out there, he discovers a metal hatch in the ground. And he opens it up. And do you know what he finds there?
Mm.
And everyone's like, no. He's like,
no, what's he
an advanced, and it down in the center of the earth is an advanced futuristic society.
Nice.
And that's his premise. And they've got the book in their hand. And
now they're very interested.
And they've already got the product in their hands. You know that they're 80% more likely to actually purchase the product when they're holding it.
Yeah, see, that's what Daniel says. He hands them the book. Now, I haven't tried this one yet, but I'm going to now, because usually I'm like, you know, do you read? You know, well, what genre do you like? You know, we've got this and this. And then I'm like, Stephen, take it away, you know, and then Stephen does the synopsis and all that.
Well, since we're talking about sales, let me elucidate on that, okay? So all sales is a negotiation. And it's a negotiation, though, that is specifically designed to bring about a predetermined outcome. So one of the problems that a lot of authors have and a lot of publishers have at a convention is that they have a lot of product. And there was a study done a couple of years ago between two grocery stores, and it was a study on the sale of olive oil. There was one grocery store that offered three types of olive oil. The other grocery store offered 39 different brands and varieties.
Good Lord.
And what this study found was the grocery store that only had three options actually sold more product. And what the study kind of concluded, and this is true, is that too many options equals no options, and that your potential customer can't make a decision. So what we do as salespeople is we decide what we want the predetermined outcome to be. And for us, that's picking a favorite and usually it's going to be the newest release. And you've really got to focus on that and make that the focus. And David Stevenson was the example of that. He had three books, but one of them was a sequel to the book he was pitching. And so he knew that if he could get them hooked on part one, that they would come back for part two and three. And exactly. So he made part one his focus. And that's the thing that I see so many authors not understanding. They're just like, well, here we have this. What would you like? Instead, what we should do is say, hey, this is the latest, greatest book from XYZ author or publisher, and here's the premise. Put it in their hand. Talk a little bit about it. It's here at the show. It's only $10, or it's only $15. Normally $20 in the retail. Here at the show, it's $15. And if you buy
right.
chapter one and the second, the sequel, the follow up, we'll give you a deal. And instead of $30, you can have them both for $25.
Right, that's what we do. We give the
that's exactly
deal.
What we do. Yeah.
But the thing that you want to do is decide before the show, before you even go to the show, what book do I need to sell? And this is going to be my primary focus, and really focus all of your efforts on that. I do, because I have 5 books that I've written. Tales from the Flipside is the only novel I've done so far, but I've got 4 magic books. However, I didn't bring my magic book for magicians to Imaginarium. The magic book I brought was for beginners who don't know magic at all, because I'm not going to a magic convention. If I were going to a magic convention where magicians are going to be, I'm going to take my magic business books and my book, Theatrical Magic, about creating character and writing scripts. And that's going to be my focus. I'm going to have the novel with me, but my focus is going to be the material that audience is going to be most interested in. So for Imaginarium, I knew that most people there are really more interested in the speculative fiction. Yeah, I brought the Magic You Can Do book and the magic kits, but I brought a big stock of Tales from the Flipside. That was my focus. That's what I wanted to sell, because it introduces them to the character, and it creates, it creates a fandom, basically. And for people at Imaginarium, they're going to be more interested in that literary product. And, oh, hey, by the way, you like what I'm doing here with the show.
I also have this.
Here's the rest of the story. And if you want to learn how to do magic like Big Daddy Cool, you can pick this up too. And we do a deal. But the focus and my goal is to sell a certain number of units or a certain dollar amount of one product first. Does that make sense?
That's great advice.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Definitely. And there are a lot of presses and authors that have quite a few titles. I mean, in my case, I have 12 titles and just myself. And, but if we're setting up a booth for 7-Star Press, I mean, we've got 20-some-odd authors, many of whom have multiple titles. So, yeah, narrowing down is definitely a great insight as far as that goes. And adapting to the audience, you mentioned that too. And that's something, like I'll do, like if I'm going to more of a horror convention, I'll emphasize my Hellscapes short stories as opposed to, one of the fantasy series that I do. You definitely adapt to the specific crowd that you're going with, and that's what you do with – you just illustrate with your magic conventions versus a literary speculative fiction kind of realm.
Right, and pick and choose your events for, what you do. Like Daniel. Daniel's not going to go to a children's book convention and sell his Ripper books, Knife Tale is not something he's going to sell at children's convention.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me give you something to think about here.
The parents.
Because who brings the kids to that show?
Well, that is true.
The parents.
That is true. They may buy the book.
I advertise Big Daddy Cool shows in the local Nashville Parents magazine, which all of my other contemporaries, my peers, are advertising kids' birthday party shows. Mine, my ad says, because mom and dad need a night out too.
There you go. Daniel, there you go. Children's conventions.
Children's book conventions. From now on, you got it cornered. No, but seriously, no. Wait a minute, though. There is something to be said about being the kind of unique person in the room, because I have actually been to events that have been more of a literary book kind of event, and I've been that kind of odd science fiction fantasy kind of author. You know, you get some of the weird looks from some of the other authors, of course, and then some of the audience. But being the unique person in the room is not always a bad role to be in, because everybody that you know does like that type of thing will gravitate toward you immediately. So it is good to think out of the box. Most definitely.
Right.
When I was going through high school, I was definitely the unique person.
Uh-huh. Now, I can't imagine, Colonel. I just can't imagine.
Wait, that changed how?
Yes, yeah, you're still a unique person. Oh, man. There's only one Colonel. Oh, Lord. But...
only one Colonel Jude, yes.
you guys, I'm really sad, because while I've been talking to you, I've been taking down posters and artwork and packing away books in my Houdini Room studio.
Yeah, it's got me sad, John. Would you like to elaborate on some problems you're having with your basement, please? This is terrible.
Well, so I think actually, Holly, you and Greg and Blake and some other folks have rallied and really helped turn the tide. Here's where I was this morning. So we have sold our house, and we are moving to a new space. Now, I'm looking for, because the new house is not going to have quite the same layout and square footage of our current house. In our current home, I've got an entire office. Well, I've got an office downstairs, but upstairs I've got an entire room dedicated to podcasting and video casts and my creative work. And,
right,
like so
studio.
I'm not. Yeah, it is a studio. It's a multi-purpose studio. I'm not going to have that room for at least the next 6 months, because we're having a house built, and it's not going to be ready until March. So we've already sold our house. We close on it on November 13th. So we're going to be in an apartment for 6 months. So I'm looking for some studio space. I'm probably going to rent a storage unit and, you know, set up my studio in the storage unit, because that's the most cost-effective thing to do. But in the meantime, we ran into a snag. And this is what I was dealing with at the top of the morning today. We had signed a contract and had, you know, made a pledge, signed the contract that we would do a certain repair. And in our basement, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, we had our front porch, the concrete under the stairs eroded or became compromised, and the stairs fell in, and it caused this wall that's underground under the porch. It's not a structural wall or a supporting wall, to buckle inward 2 inches. Two inches doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, when you got a concrete block sticking out 2 inches from the wall, it's pretty noticeable.
It is.
So part of the contract was that, you know, we would have a contractor, you know, a company that specializes in that, evaluate it, and if they deem it necessary, we would do the repairs. Well, they did deem it necessary, but the first quote we got was an unbelievable amount of money that we just couldn't do. before the sale of the house, because we just didn't have the money. And So I went to Facebook this morning and reached out and said, "Hey guys, I've got a bunch of stuff. I'm going to sell it, this is for my family. It's for my wife and kids. And you do what you have to do sometimes." And but you and a few others kind of rallied around. You've promoted the Patreon page that I have, patreon.com/BigDaddyCoolShows. And, that's how I fund my studio space. That's how I fund the broadband internet for the podcast. I have people who invest and contribute on a monthly basis. Not a lot.
Right. And it can be $2. It can be $5,
Yeah.
Very easy to do.
Yeah. And I told everyone, hey, if you really want to help, because people kept saying, why don't you do a GoFundMe? Do a GoFundMe. And I've never really had success with a GoFundMe, and I feel weird about asking people to give me money for nothing. So I suggested, if you really want to do that, the best way to do it is contribute to my Patreon. Because that's what we're talking about, and when you contribute, when you become a subscriber, you're not just giving money for nothing. I give you value back. I give you, podcasts and video casts and live performances and exclusives, swag. I give back to the people who are supporting. So I was like, if you want to help us with this house, sponsor us on Patreon. That will provide us the money to do this, and you're going to get something in return. Because I'm not that guy. I don't want to take something from someone without giving something in return. So today, fans have rallied. We've not met the entire amount, but we've met enough. And with the second quote we got, they're willing to take payment after we close. So,
oh, thank goodness.
It's still a lot of money. And we still, I could still use the helping hand from our fans and family, but at the end of the day, we're gonna be able to make this happen, and we're gonna be able to make the move. And it was a stressful night last night after we got the news. I was up at 3 a.m. and couldn't go back to sleep, and on the internet researching different ways to raise a couple thousand.
Well, it was stressing me out this morning because, oh God, John was, thinking about selling all of his props, his costumes, and I'm like, oh, this can't happen.
She yelled it out too. Yeah, she was loud.
I was so upset. I said, oh my God, I got to do something, because we are a family, we are a community, and we do rally in to help each other, and we have to, be there for each other and help lift each other up and have each other's backs, and that's how we succeed. There's not just a me and team. You gotta have people there, rallied around you.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
and,
again,
and
I'll
I
mention
really,
it.
Really
Patreon is
it.
Patreon, Patreon, if you haven't heard of it yet.
Yeah.
Patreon. So patreon.com / Big Daddy Cool Shows. And that's where you want to go to support
that's
John.
It.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, anyone listening, I think you guys have a Patreon, don't you? Seven Star Press.
We're looking into it, John.
For the company, yeah, we're looking into it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I recommend it for any creative, because it is a great way to allow your fan base to be a part of what you're creating, because they have investment, and it's just a great way to connect and interact with fans, and I highly recommend it to anyone listening. But to my specific situation, if anyone's listening and you've seen me on stage, or you've listened to one of my podcasts, or you've seen one of my video reviews, one of my game reviews on Diesel Punk Game Night or the Roll and Go Game Review Show, if I've brought you, or if you've read my book, if I've brought you any value as an entertainer, I would ask that you consider going to the Patreon page and just, you know, put a couple of bucks in the tip jar. If I got 100 people to contribute 10 bucks, everything would be golden.
There would
be zero stress. Zero stress in this whole process. But as of where we are right now, you know, we're able to we've got enough support that you know, we'll be okay. I really appreciate those people who joined in and helped out. So I don't have to sell my mom's baby grand piano, and I don't have to sell my dad's, you know, giant oak executive desk, and I definitely won't have to sell any of my magic props. So, you know, it'll be, you know, business as usual unless something really dramatic happens. But, you know, I want to encourage everyone to, you know, still contribute, be an investor. And we've got a long way to go. And if nothing else, I got to replace the studio space for 6 months. So, you know, there's a lot to be done. And the help that fans can give is a big, big, big deal.
Right. And much appreciated, everybody.
Yes.
Much appreciated. Indeed. John's a good man. And know him personally, and he's a friend, and I will vouch.
Well, thank you.
Me too.
You guys are two of my favorite people, four of my favorite people in the world.
Well, thank you, John. You're right up on that list of mine, too, let me tell you.
You know, John is one of the people that I've ever talked to and knew what Boardwalk Empire was, which is like one of my super favorite shows of all time. So I was pretty blown away by that fact. I've been a fan ever since.
Oh, man.
The funny thing
is
I actually met John on stage. The first time I ever met John was on stage at Hypericon, where I was the guest of honor down there. And literally that is the moment I met John, was on stage at Hypericon. So we started our friendship at an event literally on the stage.
You know,
and I told Steven, I said, we've got to get John to Imaginarium. I said, I get such good vibes off this man.
First day.
Well, that's awesome. Do you have any idea how many people I meet for the first time on stage?
I bet a bunch.
Quite a few.
Yeah, I think that's the story of some of my best friendships. They happen I meet them at on stage in a performance or during an audition. It's funny how that happens, you know. And I remember that, Stephen. I didn't know who you were, and here I am having to introduce you, and I was like, you know, Lucas is just like, he's an author and he's a great guy, and you know Steven. I'm like, I really don't.
Yeah, not yet.
Here we go. I'm gonna make it sound like we're old friends, and you made
it feel like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he did it.
And that's the rest, as they say, is history.
It is. We got a minute 30 left. If people want to close out with their website. Mine is Holistic Holly, Healing Helpers. I'm on Etsy. I'm on Facebook. Stephen, you want to go next and go around?
Well, I just want to say every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, is the Star Chamber Show. And catch us on Facebook at Star Chamber Show and also on Twitter at Star Chamber Show if you want to follow us.
Eric?
Nah, I'll pass.
Okay,
go ahead,
Daniel?
Daniel?
So you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com, Daniel Dark Author. I don't have a web page yet. I'm trying
He's
to work
on
that.
www.7starpress.com.
Yep.
All right, John.
And you can find his book on Amazon, Knife's Tale, Kobo, all that good stuff.
And
go for it, John.
BigDaddyCoolShows.com. Yeah, www.BigDaddyCoolShows.com. Everything is linked there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr,
Pinterest,
LinkedIn,
yes.
Email, my book links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the podcast, and the Patreon page, all of it at BigDaddyCoolShows.com.
Join us Friday on YouTube.
Yes, well, that's the creative's call. But, yeah, thank you for listening to the Star Chamber Show, and we'll catch you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Guys, that was an excellent
everybody.
Show.
Thanks for joining us. I'm really glad you all came by. Awesome. Yeah, really. I think the show went very well, don't you?